I think we all understand something about communication. There's very little that happens without it. If we don't communicate, there's very little that we accomplish as a group of people or even on our own, to be honest. As soon as we bring one more person into the mix, we have to have some level of communication if we're going to interact well and accomplish goals. Because this is titled Communication in the Church, I think we probably know that as soon as we have a group of people together, then communication can become difficult. And I may or may not tell you what I'm thinking, and you may or may not pick up on what I'm thinking, or if you really press my buttons, you may pick up on more than you want to pick up on what I'm thinking. Effective communication basically tries to eliminate those extremes. The not knowing what I'm thinking and the getting more than you want to know about what I'm thinking and feeling. Both of those extremes tend to not be very productive. So these thoughts are not original with me, all of them. Many of them are not. If you've attended any business seminars or any other type of training about communication, many of these points you already know. I think what is helpful for me is to fine-tune them, to interact with other people, and to learn from other people, and identify some of my areas of weakness, maybe some of my areas of strength, but more likely some areas of weakness where I can improve in being a better communicator, especially when things get tense, especially when things are difficult. So just right at the very top there, well, actually, let's flip it over to the back first. And there's a quote there from Karen Merrick that says, at the very bottom, our work, our relationships, and our lives succeed or fail one conversation at a time. That's very true. It can be somewhat profound, but it's very true. We succeed or we fail one conversation at a time. And we certainly make mistakes, at least I do. And it's important to remember that when that happens, that tomorrow's a new day, and I'll get a new opportunity, and all is not lost if I learn from the mistake I made today and change that as I communicate tomorrow in that set of challenges and that those conversations. Concise takeaway is clear, courteous, concise, credible, and complete. If you want to remember a few things in a short, concise way, it's our conversation should be clear, they should be courteous, they should be concise, not rambling, they should be credible or truthful, and they should be complete. We should finish what we have to say or what we're trying to communicate about. Not leave it hang, not kind of go off on a tangent and just leave it hang. Let's look at a couple of these points. And then I'm going to go quickly through them, and then hopefully we're going to have some time so we can do some what ifs, question and answers, feedback, what about this, which is the part I enjoy the most about teaching these topics. Start with the positive. So you've probably heard this many times already. Always start a conversation, especially a difficult one, with something positive about it. It can be okay to start with a little bit of small talk. That can be helpful. It's probably not very helpful to start with a little bit of small talk in a very difficult situation. So if you're in a situation where Things are very tense. You know it's going to be difficult. If you start out with small talk, what you're really doing is kind of demeaning the seriousness of the conversation. Now, if we're getting together and we're just going to have a conversation about general things, then small talk can break the ice and kind of get us into knowing each other a little better, just basically breaking the ice, lubing the conversation, and getting it going. In a very hard situation, one of the best things probably is a positive prayer for guidance. If it's very hard, you know it's going to be a problem, you know people are at odds with each other already, you're not looking forward to it, you really don't want to be there. If we've all done that already, probably. Don't really want to have this conversation. One of the better ways to start that is a positive prayer for guidance, for God to intervene, or God to intervene with me in guiding my part of the conversation. Be considerate. One other way of saying that is always try to look at the other person's point of view. It's very easy for me to know what my point of view is. I'll come to the conversation knowing where I'm at, what I feel, what I want to say. But be considerate of the other person's point of view. View the topic from as many vantage points as you can. So if it's a group discussion about something that's going on at church, then try to view the situation from multiple people's perspective and be considerate of what the other viewpoints are. Usually the best decisions are made, in my experience, when the conversation's all over and I actually change what I really thought I wanted to happen because of somebody else's point of view. I actually change what I was thinking about something or the outcome because of something someone else said. That, you know what? That was a better idea than my idea. And maybe best of all is to take the ideas together and come up with the best solution. And nobody really got what they came expecting to get. They got what's better. Better than they expected to get. If you're leading a discussion, then try to get balanced time. That's another part about being considerate. So we all know there's those of us that like to run off at the mouth and talk, and we'll dominate the conversation given the opportunity. But sometimes some of the best things that are said are by that person that's kind of quiet, and yet you stand up here where I'm standing, and you're watching the group, and you're like, I know that guy's kind of thinking something or that woman's thinking something. They're just not quite sure if they want to say it. Sometimes being considerate is drawing that person out when you're leading the conversation. Or maybe it's just in a conversation of two or three people and you notice the person that I think there's something turning up there that they're thinking and maybe they aren't going to say it. Then it's good to say, hey, what are you thinking, Rich? You know, you haven't said anything yet. It looks like you're thinking something. What are you thinking? Another thing about being considerate is, and this is important for people like me with strong personalities, because we get excited about something, and when we get excited, our voices tend to raise. And it's not that we're really angry, maybe, always. Sometimes we might be. But we're enthusiastic about it. We're excited about it. Yeah, we want it to happen. So be mindful of that. That can be really intimidating to someone that's quieter, maybe, or more less extroverted. As the voices get raised, discussion gets enthusiastic. There might be other words used to describe that sometimes. But enthusiastic, that tends to not consider the people that aren't natured that way as much, and maybe cut off conversation with them. Always be respectful. Yes, if you live long enough, you'll be involved in those conversations you don't really want to have. And sometimes we have to say things we don't really want to have to say. Okay? But for the sake of the conversation being complete, they do have to be said. Say it as respectfully as possible. When those things have to be said that we don't really want to have to say, but we have to say them, say it respectfully, as respectfully as possible. But just be aware, some things do have to be said. Just do it in a respectful way. If we show empathy, especially in those hard conversations, it goes a long way towards making it more palatable to say those hard things. We all mess up. Let's just be honest. I mess up every day. We all do. And if we can all show that empathy and that humanness, it goes a long way in being considerate to others and making it respectful when we have to say those hard things. Next one's pretty easy. Stay focused. Don't go wandering off on bunny trails or other things that don't pertain. Or, you know what, we were talking about this, but I thought about this. Let's talk about this for a bit. Try not to do that. One thing in this, talking about reading people in cues, is distraction or bunny trails or diverging is a pretty good big cue when things start getting uncomfortable for someone. If you're on in a more one-to-one or small group conversation about hard things and somebody kind of takes it over here, it's a pretty big cue in that they're uncomfortable with where the conversation's going. Now, depending what the conversation is, that might be a time to lean in and pursue that. Or it might be a time to lean out or lean away and pull back and give them some space. It all depends on what the conversation is about. If it's a semi-casual conversation and I'm starting to get somewhere where you'd rather not talk about something, and I wasn't really intending to get there maybe even, it's a good time to pull back when I see the cue of you're being uncomfortable. If it's a conversation about a problem we're having and we need to get to the root of it and we need to get it resolved, then it's probably time to lean in a little bit and say, really good question. What you need to lean in is this. Help me understand. Or can you explain that to me? But really, really good way to get information without being too offensive is to say, help me understand where you're coming from. Another thing about staying focused, and this is really pertinent to me, is it's easy for me to be trying to think ahead of what you're actually telling me to prepare for how I'm going to respond to you. That's a big, big no-no. And I do it, some of us more than others, but I think we all have a tendency to do that. Think about what my response is going to be. No, just listen. I need to just listen to hear what you're saying so that I'm actually hearing you and staying focused on what's being said, not thinking about something else. It leads into reading the participants, the next one. So read the people that are talking to you. And if I'm going to read the body language that's coming back, I need to focus on the conversation, not focus on what I'm going to say when you're done talking. So read that. Another critical part about reading the participants is tone of voice. And I talked about this earlier, about being respectful. If you're enthusiastic, your tone of voice will go up about things. But me raising my tone of voice can also signify that I'm pushing back as well. There's a lot about conversation that isn't in the words we're saying. In fact, a lot of what we pick up is not in the words we're saying. It's in the body language. It's in the tone of voice. It's in the way I look at you. It's in my mannerisms. It's in a lot of things that you're going to pick up about what's being said that is really reading the conversation. It falls in this category. A lot of times, more is gleaned from reading the conversation, reading the participants, and what is maybe not said than is said. Follow me? Sometimes I learn more by what is not said that could have been said than what is actually said. And again, that goes back. It's a good time. So we're talking about interpersonal church communications, which many times is sometimes difficult ones to have. So when I pick up on that, what's not being said, that's another good time to use a phrase. Help me understand this. And draw out what maybe not being said. Practice reflective listening. This is a good way for you to know that I'm hearing what you're saying and understanding. And again, this is not something you don't know. This is something we're taught early on in communicating. For me to reiterate back to you, this is what I thought you said. Is that correct? Did I understand you correctly? Asking simple questions. Again, you can use the help me understand or just another simple question that says, I think you might be saying this. Is that what you're really saying? Or did I understand you to say this? If you don't understand, ask. Oh, the one thing you don't want to do is jump to conclusions. Or assume you know what, for me to assume I know what you're going to say. And then if I do that, I'm already doing the other thing where I'm thinking about how I'm going to respond. I really should be asking you, is this what you meant? Did I understand what you said? And is that what you meant? Focus again on the people. Focus on eyes, on body language. Just listen. Listen to hear and listen to understand. Wait for the speaker to finish. Again, this is something I have to work on. It's easy for me to kind of think, I know where he's going with that thought and be formulating what I'm going to say. The one thing where that's very detrimental is when things are tough. And this is a hard place to find a balance. So you can get involved in a very difficult situation where people become very emotional. And it gets uncomfortable quickly. And what you want to do as a person leading the conversation is say, you want to save for them what you think they're saying. There can be an appropriate time for that if it's someone you know well and they're in a very hurting situation. It can be okay to say, you know, I think this is what you're trying to tell me. Is that what you're trying to tell me? But many times it's better just to let them finish. It's hard. It's hard for us emotionally. It's hard for them emotionally. But sometimes the way to a successful conversation is just let them finish. It's hard. It's hard for both. But that generates empathy to a certain extent. And sometimes the resolving it is in the being able to express it and say it, even though it's difficult. And then I already touched on the last one. All these are pretty much intertwined to a certain extent, is avoid assumptions. It's very easy for me, especially again when it's church things that have been going on for a while, it's very easy for me to think I know all the aspects of what's going on and I can assume this is the best result or this is the best way to end the conversation. That's probably not a healthy thing because I probably don't know everything. If I did, we probably wouldn't be having to have conversations. So It's best to avoid assumptions. Let the people speak. Do reflective listening. Get it all out on the table. And don't assume. If there's conversations where there's doubt, which you'll get into this sooner or later, if you have enough conversations with people, there'll be situations where you know it's not all being said, or you're pretty sure that it's not all being said, and they're not going to talk about it. And help me understand isn't going to help. Then, when it comes to that, avoid assuming the worst. Give them the benefit of the doubt. If you can't finish the conversation in a healthy way, give them the benefit of the doubt and avoid assuming that the absolute worst thing that it could be, which as human beings is what we want to tend to do, and give them the benefit of the doubt rather than assuming the worst. Just know this. For conversations to take place that are difficult, there has to be a certain level of trust. Trust is earned. Okay? Trust is earned. You have to learn to trust me. If you don't know me, I can't expect you to trust me. So trust is earned. But I also, and you have to do the same thing, I also have to give you an opportunity to trust me. You understand what I'm saying? I have to put something out there that gives you the opportunity to trust me. I have to put some risk out there on my part so that you have the opportunity to trust me. Without trust, we'll never have helpful and constructive conversations. However, if we don't know each other well, we have to have some way of developing trust. And effective communication is just that. It allows us to put out there things that let us develop a certain level of trust that we can take communication to the next level. So you need to be able to learn that I can trust Jason. He's not going to backstab me, or he's not going to... But to do that, I have to be willing to expose something to you that you can learn to trust me. And finally, always end with the positive. So we had a conversation. We solved some difficulty. If we solve some difficulty, it's going to happen organically. We're going to end at the positive because we actually communicated and we actually developed the connection to each other. And we actually develop more trust with each other. And so we'll automatically end on the positive. And you see this all the time. If you work in these things, you get in a tense situation, there's conversations you need to have that you'd rather not have. 2 hours later, when it's all over, you see people standing around talking to each other. And they might be chit-chatting, or they might be talking about some of the things you talked about in the conversation. But what you see is, the atmosphere totally changed from a tense, let's not talk about this, do we have to go there thing, to an atmosphere where now we're communicating, now we're talking, now we're interacting with each other. That's the outcome of productive conversation. It don't always work that way. If it don't, end on something positive. So if the outcome is we agree to disagree, then let's end on something positive about what that we can agree on, and that we can reinforce the value of each other. Because we all have value. We might bring different things to the table. We might actually be at odds with each other. That doesn't mean we don't bring value and have value, even though if in this particular situation we weren't able to come together. We still bring value, and there's still positive things we can end on. And if nothing more, thank the person for their willingness to engage in conversation. That in and of itself is valuable. Because where there's conversation, there's still a bridge. And if we're ever going to overcome our differences, there has to be that bridge that we can have conversation. Because without it, we're not going to. I mean, it ends again where I started. Our lives succeed or fail, one conversation at a time. Hopefully they succeed more than they fail. In fact, I'd like to think that if we can always communicate openly and honestly, eventually we'll succeed. Even if that is to agree that whatever it is that we're talking about is not something for us to work together on.